All right. My name is... No. My name is Susan Elaine Yee. I am 35 today. Today's date is February 20th, 09. We are in the Oakland Asian Cultural Center in Oakland's Chinatown. And my partner is my mother.
My name is Caroline Chin Yi, age 64. Today's date is February 20th, 2009. Location is the Oakland Asian Cultural Center in Oakland's Chinatown. And my partner is my daughter, Susan.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
So here we are in Chinatown. Thanks for coming with me on my birthday. It's a really special present. We'll start off casual. So I heard a rumor that King Hua is closing. Did you hear that?
I've heard that rumor before, but they seem to remain open.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I've seen the children of the owners operating it, and I happened to just order something from it just the other day.
Oh, good. So they're not closed.
Not closed yet.
Did you get wonton?
We got fried wonton, and I got that oyster wrap in the lettuce for New Year's for that little staff party that I had.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. So we used to go to King Hua all the time with your family. When's your first memory of going there?
Oh, geez, it was way, way back when, because we used to go to the Golden Peacock around the corner where our church was. We used to take you and Christopher, and the waiter used to throw the menu at most people, but he actually really loved the two of you and was always very pleasant, and we always had a good deal. Hmm. But their portions got very small, so we went around the corner to King Hua. I don't remember when we started. I would say... a lot of old-timers still go there. You can still go there and see a lot of people from way back when.
Yeah, it's definitely an institution.
It's one of the only places that Auntie Jenny will go to.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. But even she's complaining now about the small size of the portions.
Oh.
Except for the fried wonton.
Oh, so the portion size has gone down a little bit?
Very much so.
So that's funny, because I always thought that it was your family that started going there. But you're saying that it was our immediate family, me, you, Dad.
I think it was my family. You know, we didn't always live in Oakland. When Chris was born, he was in North Dakota.
Oh, right.
So I think that the closing happened probably sometime when we were gone, so that when we came back to Oakland... my family, or somehow Chinatown, had migrated over to King Hua.
Wait, the closing
Chinatown,
of what?
You know, the favorite restaurants were Silver Dragon, Lantern, and then it moved over to King Hua when Silver Dragon, I think, became a little more expensive, and Lantern closed down.
Yeah, was it just called Lantern?
Yeah, that's where Ashley, Russell, and Lisa had their wedding reception.
Oh, was I there?
Yes, you were. There's actually a picture of you, I think, around somewhere with you there.
So are there any restaurants here in Chinatown that you have not sampled at this point?
Oh, there's so many now. There are just so many. And I think really that's how Chinatown has differed from when I was little, because there were several key restaurants, but now there's, you know, in the hundreds, I would say, almost 100 of restaurants, you know, with the Vietnamese restaurants and some Cambodian restaurants and lots more Chinese restaurants, all very competitive. And I love Chinatown now because it's so vibrant.
So how is it different than back in the day? Because I can't even imagine Chinatown without a million restaurants, new iterations, old versions of the same thing.
Chinatown was much smaller than it is now, and it seemed like smaller and at the same time more spread out, in that there weren't so many restaurants just in cubbyholes right next to each other.
Huh.
So, like, if you're on 10th Street now, you have that Shangdong place, and then you have Quick Lee. I made that mistake at the staff meeting. Anyways, and they all laughed at me because I said Quickie. Anyways, long story short is that there's just so many more, and much more crowded. You know, it's actually hard to walk down the street without being four people abreast, you know, next to each other nowadays.
Oh.
And in the old days, you know, it was a nice, cozy, but not as thriving.
Mm.
But at the same time, it was one of my favorite things to do was my grandfather, you know, on his days off would take us over there to the corner store, and he'd get his newspaper, and he would buy me beef jerky. Little flat packets, which was a favorite.
The
thing.
Sweet beef jerky?
No, it wasn't sweet in those days.
Oh, salty.
Yeah, it was very good.
Is that corner store still here?
That corner store is no longer there. It used to be on the corner of 8th and Webster. And it was the typical shop where there were a lot of newspapers and old men sitting around and shooting the breeze. And I loved going with him. I did not like my cheeks pinched. Oh, there's a little one. You know, kind of thing. That was not fun.
So the old men at the corner store where you would go to get the beef jerky and
I
the
guess
paper
so.
Would pinch your cheeks. Just how old were you?
Oh, little. Probably under 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't pinch over 10. That I can remember.
They weren't pinching those cheeks, perhaps.
Yeah.
Did your other siblings get to go on excursions like that, or were you too young to remember?
You know, I really don't know, although because I'm the youngest of the five.
Mm-hmm.
They told me about Grandpa taking them downtown or taking them out on his days off, but it wasn't in my memory because I remember being the only one going with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because they were a little bit older than
they
you.
They were a little bit older, probably into their own teenage things and having fun. One of the things that I was always jealous of them because when they were growing up, there were so many families in Chinatown, and they all seemed to be connected, and the kids hung around.
Mm.
And more often than not, I will meet people who tell me that they knew my sister or they know my sister or my brother because lots of families were just very close.
Mm.
In fact, I found out the other day going to a party that I was cousins with somebody.
Hmm.
But those family members knew each other more because they were lived so close in proximity.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to my age for growing up, people were all moving out of Chinatown.
Mm.
And I don't think the community ties were as thick.
Hmm.
So I was really always kind of wishing for that for myself.
Hmm.
We had fun. But, you know, they were packs of teenagers. And
wow.
One of the pictures that I have to show you sometime is my mom would open up her house and, you know, people would come, just like your house.
Uh-huh.
People would.
Well, your house.
People would just come over and have Sunday dinner there, and it was my sister's friends and anybody could come.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather was there on the dining room table that you now have.
That I have, yeah.
So it's interesting because I know more of my sister's friends and brother's friends than my own friends because there weren't that many as many of us in Chinatown.
Right, and maybe because they're a little bit closer in age, like they shared more friends. Is that? Oh no, you really think it's because
there were tons. The population, the census in Chinatown was more Chinese families. So, for example, Laurel's uncle's family, Uncle Darlene's husband's family, actually lived with our family for a while.
Really?
Yeah, two families in one household for a while.
Yeah.
And so it was just the, what do you call it, the place to start your life in America.
So there's a big wave, it felt like.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That generation.
Exactly.
Families
exactly.
or kids got born in that first wave. Mm-hmm. And that was your siblings?
That's
like
my siblings' age.
It's like a half a generation, really.
Mm, yeah, like a half a generation.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because you understand that David was 9 years older than me, and that's the closest mm-hmm. between the siblings.
Yeah, your oldest, the oldest sibling is Auntie Jenny, right?
Yes.
And how old is she right now?
77.
Oh, okay, so she's 12 years older than you? I'm getting my math right now.
I don't know, you can do the math.
13 years old. Older than you.
And then Lincoln School went up to 8th or 9th grade. Mm. And so all those families were together for the longest of time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them went to the Chinese Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. But my Auntie Janice, your Auntie Janice went to the Chinese Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And so they just did a lot of things together. Mm-hmm. You know, they went dancing. I mean, I remember them telling me, you know, they're driving up to Sacramento to see friends.
Wow.
Or they would go to see. I remember one night, they went to see Oklahoma, and I was home all by myself. So I couldn't quite go out on that date. So, you know, and there are pictures of them on different excursions. Mm. Uncle Jerome would be really the best source for those pictures. They just really had a ball.
Well, what year is that? Are we talking like 1940s?
I would say the 50s.
50s?
The 50s.
Yeah, and then you grew up more in the 60s.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
So what were some of your, who were some of your friends that did stick around or that were around?
Well, my friends were Sherwin and mm-hmm. Ernest mm-hmm. and
two guys,
Mary around the corner, Alan behind me, Janice across the street, and there were a couple of some other neighborhood kids too. Mm-hmm. And actually, Lester from Silver Dragon was lived downstairs from us. And there was your cousin, or my cousin, Jeffrey, who lived across the street. And we'd spend our days roller skating and riding on wagons and playing on what's now the train park. And I remember just fondly having picnics there with my cousin Jeffrey and Jennifer climbing trees. Mm. Yeah, I loved climbing trees even then.
Yeah.
And see, what else did we do? Oh, we'd go to each other's house. Actually, a key person in my life was probably my sister Janice, because mm-hmm. She helped to throw me birthday parties. Mm. And I actually remember having a party at our small little house, and mm-hmm. that was fun. Mm-hmm. Another thing that helped a lot was Chinese school, even though I hated it when I went to Chinese school. It was another social network. Mm-hmm. And church was another social network. So life actually was pretty good. Even though I wished that I didn't live in Chinatown, life in Chinatown was pretty happy.
Maybe we'll come back to that. But I was curious about the, why did people come, why did, with your brothers and sisters and all of their friends, why to your guys' house? What was special about
it? I don't know.
You guys continue to throw the gigantic gatherings.
Not
still.
As much as you do. But anyways.
No, but I mean with the family. I mean,
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
I know my mom always cooked. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether it was because of, you know, our siblings' popularity or, which is kind of interesting because when you think about it now, I think most of Jenny's friends came over. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Janice's friends came over that much. Mm. David and Jerome actually were part of the Dragon Club, you know, the drum lion dancing club.
Really?
Which was totally cool. And that
really?
Was another thing that I wish that I could have done. That's why I love the drums so much now.
Yeah.
But I think maybe my sister was the ringleader. I'm not sure.
I could see that.
My mom also had to, as soon as she came over, she had to cook for my grandfather, and he would bring friends over.
Oh, man.
And pleasant or not, you know, that's what she did. And so she did a lot of cooking.
So what kind of stuff would she make? Ooh. I remember her once, one memory I have of her in that house, is I was pretty young, I think, when she still had chickens. I do remember her going down those really steep stairs to that little concrete yard and yeah. Getting a chicken.
Killing it. Is that her or my grandmother? Oh, they both actually did things like
yeah,
that. I remember
yeah,
too.
Great. So what kind of things would she make that you remember that you liked?
Her chicken was the best. And I, you know, she just really was a great cook. And I assumed everybody was a great cook, but she actually, everybody's not a great cook. She was. I loved her paper wrap chicken.
Mm-hmm.
She just would chop it all up really fast on that wooden chopping block.
Mm-hmm. I remember
with
that.
With the butcher knife.
Cleaver.
And she had the best sauce, and we would wrap it up in the wax paper and stick it in the broiler. That was so good. Her roast chicken was excellent. She made good stew, but she mostly cooked Chinese. She made really, really good hamsir gak.
Oh, man, she made
she
that?
She made them. They were all beautifully
shaped, folded?
Shaped and pinched on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And she made the New Year dough balls, and they're white. I think they're the equivalent to
mochi.
Jewish matzo balls and Japanese mochi, because they're just rice flour.
Uh-huh.
But you put them in a salty soup for New Year's, and then you can also have it just in kind of a sugar thing.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great oyster wrap. That was Gary's favorite. She always would cook it
with
for him.
With the dried oysters?
With the dried scallops. With the
dried scallops and pork.
Dried oysters. Dried scallops, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Dried scallops in the lettuce wrap. She made really good nomai fan, too.
Mm.
She was really a great cook.
Wow.
Really, 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 really. She had spinach with that fermented tofu. That was actually very good, too.
Spinach with fermented tofu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had that.
So you must have it sometime.
Maybe you should make it for me.
Yeah, it's just opening up a jar and adding it to the spinach. But I never took lessons from her, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, so she came over. How old was she when she came over?
Young, late teens.
Late teens.
I don't know the exact.
She was married to your dad already. Or did they get married here?
They got married over here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was arranged mm-hmm. back there. Actually, Auntie Jenny and Auntie Janice and Uncle Jerome and I are going to San Francisco to meet one of the matriarchs to get it all down in writing.
Mm.
You know, who is related to who, when did this happen,
no
when did
way.
That happen? Because she's the only one now that will remember what happened.
Who is she related to?
Do you remember Michael Chan? Her mother, Dipal.
The mustache?
Yes.
Yeah.
His mom.
Oh.
His mom.
Wow.
So we'll get it all down after March.
So she, how is she related to you guys? I know who Michael Chan is.
The Chan village.
Interesting. I didn't know there was only one Chan village.
There probably are more than one, but it's that particular one.
Right.
In that particular district.
In Toisan?
In Toisan.
Do you remember the name? We went and visited.
No, we didn't go. We only went to my mother's. Partly because, you know, there's this thing about my father that we're not so happy about.
Right.
So we all haven't come to terms with that
mm-hmm.
in a way that's healthy. We probably still need to work through some things.
Yeah. I got it. So, right, because the Chin comes from your dad's side.
Yeah.
Got it. But we did go see your mom's village. Yeah. What was the name of that village again? Do you remember?
I think I'm American born. I think it was called Luktun.
Uh-huh.
Luktun in Toisan.
And were most of the other friends like that you had and your siblings' friends were the people that were kind of your age, were they also born here in the Bay Area or
yeah.
California?
I think I've never asked them where they were born, but I'm assuming that.
Because it's funny, because I don't feel like I know that many Chinese Americans who are my generation, which is, you know, American born to American born.
You need to go to Chinese school. That's my fault.
Well, yeah, Chinese school. You know, she yelled at me a lot.
We should have sent you to the other Chinese school, the real Chinese school, the everyday Chinese school.
Mm, yeah, you should have.
Down here.
I don't know.
Probably true. Who knows?
I know, I was weak. I had no thick skin. I just remember her being incredible that I didn't even know big.
and
possibly the easiest character.
That was our fault too, because we didn't talk to you.
Mm-hmm. So you know a lot of people who are your generation who are born here.
Yeah. But I think the other thing is my generation probably didn't have as much Asian pride as we do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it wasn't, language wasn't as important as
yeah.
to us then as it is now.
Yeah.
And heritage wasn't as important then, because throughout, you know, I wanted to be white for a long, long time.
And I was going to ask you, actually, because when you said all your friends' names, they're all super American names. And your name is super
Sherwin.
American.
Yes.
Sherwin. Well, they're actually very Asian American, Chinese American names.
Darwin.
Can you edit that out? Jerome. That's really amazing. Caroline is pretty.
That's very chic now.
There's not, there is no Chinese similar name correlation.
Yeah.
So did you guys choose, I mean, you didn't choose
My
your name.
My sister named me.
Your sister named you.
I
Who named her?
I think the doctors probably did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because her name doesn't sound like her Chinese name at all. It's a funny fact. There's a. Did you ever read that dim sum of all things?
I did.
Because there's that part about Chinese names that we will have to laugh about together. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, at Lincoln now,
mm-hmm.
it is interesting to see the kids, whether they'll go by their regular name or they'll choose a more English-sounding name. Like, there's this wonderful, wonderful attendance clerk. And her name is Shen. And she's decided... She decided to be called Sharon. And, you know,
right.
Now I appreciate the Chinese name. And now, you know, I'm trying to encourage her. Oh,
yeah.
I like your name, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I think when you're from an immigrant background,
yeah.
there's this need and desire to assimilate.
Totally.
Very much so.
No, I mean, I think that's like super, that's really clear.
And you understand that I grew up in the age of Ozzie and Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
So being, you know, I was almost like an only child because
yeah.
my brothers and sisters had gotten married or gone to work and gotten married. And so I was left with the TV a lot. except for Chinese school. Ozzie and Harriet, Nancy Drew. I did read about Silver Chief. Who's in Heidi? All those guys. So I read a lot of books.
I could have been named Heidi.
And I was, you know, I was wishing for this white picket fence
mm-hmm.
and a dog. I wanted a dog, but I didn't realize that.
You got a few of those.
The hair would get next to me. And the... what else? I totally thought I was going to get a car for graduation.
Really? No car.
I got a watch. I got a watch and a coat from Ruth Atkins, camel color.
Oh,
so it looked
ooh, what happened to that coat?
Collegiate. I don't know, but it was good. It was really a nice coat. And,
man.
You know.
Wow.
But I think, aside from wanting to be white, I was pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And our school was pretty mixed. You know, there were African Americans and Anglo Americans and Asian Americans, and
mm-hmm.
We mixed pretty well. And except for wanting to be white, which is interesting. Race was not an issue for me.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, there was not anything about race that I felt one way or the other about except I guess wanting to be in Ozzie and Harriet's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, totally. Much of my life, I have to say, is not feeling quite good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not quite having it as clean, or mm-hmm. not quite having things in place just right, or, you know, it was embarrassment to bring friends over when I was in middle school and high school.
Mm.
We had roaches,
mm-hmm.
and I was ashamed of that. But amazingly enough, I did have friends, I mean, you know, that didn't live in the neighborhood. Janice Chin, who was Janice Yee, she lived by Westlake, and mm-hmm. she actually came over.
Mm.
She's an optometrist's daughter, because
mm-hmm.
our family wasn't professional.
Uh-huh.
She came over. We had a lot of good times together.
Yeah.
She wasn't from Lincoln School, but middle school was the most fun.
Mm-hmm. What middle school did you go to?
Westlake.
Oh, you went to Westlake.
And we went to dances, and we did all the things that junior high school kids did.
Yeah.
And it was actually pretty amazing that my mother trusted me. More or less. Mm-hmm. She even let me have a dance at the house. And
whoa.
And she made fried wonton. And I was...
What?
I was actually... You know, people came.
Yeah.
Which was really fun.
Yeah.
So...
So you went to Westlake and Oakland Tech. And Oakland... Was Oakland Tech where it is now in the historic building?
And
so
Westlake,
you went...
Yeah. Westlake and Tech are right where they were.
So crazy that we went to the same high school.
I should say.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. They might have some of your old work up, too, like they had my old work up 10 years later.
I'm sure. I'd like to go and see it. Westlake, there's a trophy of me at Westlake with my name on it.
Still? Wow.
Because every year they had a girl of the year, but my year they we had a tie.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was, I got the sense that when you first said who were some of your closest friends or who were the people you hung out with, there were all these people who were right in the immediate area around your house, which is on 7th and Alice, right?
Right, but you know, what really did a lot for my growth as a young person, I suppose, is the nurturing I got at church.
Mm-hmm.
So Janice, mm-hmm. and Janice took me there, and... as I said at an occasion, all that I learned, because I'm an educator, all that I learned in Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
How to have fun with music and mm. crafts and competitions. And,
yeah.
You know, having a really fun time in school. And then the church also provided a social network.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Sherwin, Ernest, Alan, those guys are my best friends mm-hmm. from Chinatown. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of other friends, but, you know, we didn't continue growing up together as mm-hmm. much in the church. And so the church had youth leaders,
mm-hmm.
and I just think they were the greatest for helping immigrant families, immigrant mm-hmm. kids to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Sherwin's sister took us to the ballet.
Wow.
You know, that's
yeah.
where we saw the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
And we actually had spaghetti,
yeah.
you know, which we never had at home. And I think about what you do with Ebasi itself and Oasis, how they really helped the kids to assimilate
mm-hmm.
the immigrants now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
really meant a lot. We, you know, for example, if you were in a suburban area, you'd do a car wash and you'd wash people's car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a car wash too. I think it was to raise money for Thanksgiving dinner. We had not that many cars around, so we went to the produce area. And wash the trucks.
the delivery trucks. The produce trucks.
And so I just
did they pay you for it?
Yeah,
nice.
I just remember having a really great time with my friends. And I'm really, really grateful to those youth leaders and the youth leaders of nowadays
because
mm-hmm. it really makes a difference.
So the people who were your youth leaders, they were also born here? They were Chinese.
They were Chinese, and I think they were born here. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to tell because
mm-hmm.
they're like my sister's friends
mm-hmm.
or whatnot.
But it's interesting because you were saying, you know, you were really grateful to them for, you know, helping you assimilate, you know, and that they're really great for kind of immigrant kids who, But you were born here, and all your siblings were born here. So it's interesting that you relate to the immigrant experience so keenly.
Well, the family culture, mm-hmm. you know, the mother and father don't connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in the best of families,
mm-hmm.
With parents and children born in the same country, there's sometimes a little friction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to assimilate and your parents don't speak English, they don't go to PTA meetings,
mm-hmm.
Your father's a gambler,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's no discussion at the table.
Mm-hmm.
You could get your fingers wrapped with chopsticks if you were out of line. And
yeah.
That happened
yeah,
a couple of times. And so, you know, there's really no discussion about growing up or how to fit in or what mm-hmm. to do except to get good grades. And so all those activities, you know, helped me not to be afraid of the bigger world.
Mm.
And that's my concern right now, actually, for the kids at Lincoln. If they're over sheltered and mm-hmm. and they only see Chinese kids,
mm-hmm.
how are they going to learn to mix?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, I worry about that.
Was Lincoln back then mostly Chinese?
No, it's quite mixed.
It was more mixed than it is now.
Much more African Americans.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I can remember Florentina Campos and
uh-huh.
some kid that gave me a Christmas present because we exchanged names, but he was a white kid. I think his name was Kenneth.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, just really mixed. That's why I never yeah. thought race was such an issue.
Right. Well, that's so interesting because Lincoln, for as long as I've grown up, which is 35 years, and my memory has always been really Chinese.
Right.
And Chinese American.
And I think, you know, I mean, in those days, I wish there was more, how shall I say it, efforts to promote pride and mm-hmm. inclusion in, mm-hmm. in Asian heritage. And now I think it's almost exclusive,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, kids need to see the bigger picture mm-hmm. and to appreciate
mm-hmm.
The whole world of people.
You feel like it's swung a little bit too far? Because I was going to ask you about that. So you grew up, I mean, I love your story, you know, you're my mom. Mm. But it's fascinating because, you know, you were born here, you're American born, your siblings are American born, they really helped raise you. And yet I've known all my life, you know, that you have always felt like this Chinatown girl, you know, which I think is probably, you know, a lot of class stuff as well as
yes.
cultural stuff. And I know, you know, you guys gave me and Chris pretty very, very white American names also. And I've always kind of...
Although, Susan, we wanted something to sound Chinese.
Susan can translate. It's true. It's one of those names that's also popular in the Asian cultures. Although now it's a little identified with Korean Americans. Anyways,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I know that there was this time where you were kind of running away from mm-hmm. that and looking for the white picket fence, and then you ended up in North Dakota for a little while, and there it was. But, you know, at the end of your career, how amazing is it to be at Lincoln where you are trying to help people be proud to be, you know, these students and families mm-hmm. be proud to be Chinese and Chinese American, you know, really fiercely proud of that, mm-hmm. but also not exclusive and insular. I don't know. It's just interesting to think about that trajectory and kind of returning back. You know, did you ever think when you were a kid that you would be working back in Chinatown?
Oh, no.
Voluntarily?
No, and I wished, you know, I wish my mother knew.
Yeah. What do you think she would say?
She wouldn't say much.
Yeah.
But she would point to the article, or she might tell her friends that I was the principal at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's interesting because, you know, when I was growing up, I probably didn't pay much attention to her and wished for a different kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back at pictures of her now and, you know, she seems so young.
Mm.
And to navigate coming over here and cooking for my grandfather, father, and finding a job as a seamstress.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but she told us that all she wanted as a eulogy was that she's worked for 75 cents an hour and that she really loved her kids.
Mm.
And, you know, at that time, it didn't have a lot of meaning, but
yeah.
Now, you know what I would want to say to my kids is the same thing. Mm. I work for 75 cents an hour, but I worked really hard to do good, to make a difference, and to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know what she meant and how she felt. Because those are the important things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out where that transition came from being ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
From
being ashamed
to being proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what my question kind of was too.
I don't know. I probably have to think about it more and tell you more about it.
Mm.
Probably after college, probably when people were looking for their roots.
Mm-hmm.
Probably having a master's degree and just late in life finding my voice. Mm-hmm. Because that's the thing. You can be happy and you can be smart in Chinatown, but if you don't have a voice, you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get anybody's attention
mm-hmm.
if you need to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can't stay in there forever.
You can. You can, but the world is so much bigger and there's so much to explore and be a part of as opposed to just, what do you call it, being isolated and going to work, coming home. Actually, I have to say, Revolutionary Road, that movie.
You really enjoyed it?
Really, I think begs the question of, you know, what kind of meaning are you going to ascribe to your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you just want to settle down, have kids, and that's it? And that's good in itself, but mm-hmm. is that enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do more? Are there things you want to explore? So anyways, long story short, I know I have come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely. There are times if I get on an airplane, I'm still thinking that any guy that comes in a three-piece suit and mm-hmm. he's white
mm-hmm.
is smarter or more important than I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm a much more confident person due to church, my experiences as a teacher, dad really encouraging me and opening up the world for me
mm-hmm.
and pushing me to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really wonderful to be where I am.
I wonder if it's also just like, I mean, you've been an educator for all your life pretty much, and like when you're, I mean, I taught for a little bit too, and I think, you know, I still work with kids, and I know the thing that gets me is seeing their vulnerabilities, you know, and it seems like that's something that you so relate to, you know, and I know you're so fiercely protective of those kids, you know.
It's true, but I did leave with my teachers. I might have left a lot of messages, but I said, if there's anything I want to have left with you, it's not to be afraid.
Because
I even think a lot of the teachers are so afraid to stretch out and expose their kids. And
right, not protective in a sheltered way, but yeah, or just fierce, you know, just that you want them to get out there so badly and to know themselves, you know, and that's really
and to
beautiful.
Discover the joy of discovery.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think it's reflected in your life too, you know, and it's like it's just beautiful, and I think you definitely have given that to me too.
Oh, thank you.
And it's funny, I never knew that you loved to climb trees. I mean, and I love to climb trees, you know, I have not climbed any trees lately. But yeah, you know, so I really love that. I love that gift that you, you know, you found in yourself and gave to others too for so many years. I mean, how many years did you teach in Oakland?
Work
in Oakland?
35.
35 years.
But I think, amazing. You know, what makes me the happiest, actually, is my two kids, Susan and Christopher. I mean, I just need to say it, in that you guys have far exceeded in my dreams in terms of being caring people, creative people, people that discover, people that are inclusive for the most part.
Yeah.
And generous and beautiful inside and out. And I just want to tell you that so much.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard now. It's like your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to show you that I love you so much. And so sometimes maybe I go over the top. And sometimes I get the wrong thing. And I need, you know, I don't know how to tell you, but you're living your own lives. And so sometimes I just need your help to tell me, how can I show you that I love you?
Doing this is huge. I know you didn't really want to do it.
It is huge, and it's a gift to me as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. Well, we're not totally done yet. I wonder if I can get one last question in. Let's end. We started with food, and we can end with food. So if you had to recommend one place to go for an outsider, a new person, say, who just moved here from Brooklyn, what place would you recommend for them to go to for dinner? Dim sum or dinner, either one.
Oh.
In Oakland's Chinatown. Going across the bridge to Alameda.
How about New Chinatown?
maybe New Chinatown, too.
I would go to, I still like King of Kings because I like the atmosphere and I like the tablecloths. The portions are good size. You know, for dinner, it's really hard. I would go to Rainbow for dinner. I would go to Shooting Star for snacks. It's totally a fun place. Have you been to Shooting Star?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Chinese soda fountain, coffee shop, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we take grandma there for breakfast sometimes.
So those places are really, a lot of them are new Chinatown. And Shooting Star is a really new place in Chinatown.
Yeah,
the old Chinatown.
It's got IKEA stars. IKEA for, I love it. And a flat screen TV.
Nice.
It just is very charming because it has the most. Chinatown dinner, I don't know. I wouldn't go to King Hua. Silver Drill.
Well, you'd go to King Hua for
certain
the
things. The chow fun, the wonton.
And the Hong Kong fried, or the Hong Kong style chow mein.
Yeah, the Hong Kong style chow mein. Yeah, actually, they have a few really good things.
Mm-hmm. And what's that pork and salt fish thing?
Oh, that's so good.
What do you call it?
Ham yu yuk bang.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good dish there.
Yeah, they have some. I just wouldn't get the dinner special.
Yeah. It's more for the old atmosphere.
Right.
Well, thanks so much. Sounds good. If we don't get our reservations, maybe we'll go there.
Are you proud of me?
Yes. Yes. Oh, so proud. You're my inspiration. I think you're where I get my...
Yeah, saying it to be nice?
No. Definitely not. Definitely not. Oh, my God. That's why I wanted to get... How do you think we got this? Because I was talking, bragging about you.
Because the thing is, you know, because Dad's the talker.
Yeah.
And I'm not, but there's so much inside. And I'm learning to talk, of course. Thanks. Well, I'm proud of you, too.
I know that.
You do
know
that.
I know. And I got to get better about showing you that I'm proud, too.
I know. I have to sign on Facebook.
Cool. I think we're good. We're good.
Aw.
All right. My name is...
No.
My name is Susan Elaine Yee. I am 35 today. Today's date is February 20th, 09. We are in the Oakland Asian Cultural Center in Oakland's Chinatown. And my partner is my mother.
My name is Caroline Chin Yi, age 64. Today's date is February 20th, 2009. Location is the Oakland Asian Cultural Center in Oakland's Chinatown. And my partner is my daughter, Susan.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
So here we are in Chinatown. Thanks for coming with me on my birthday. It's a really special present. We'll start off casual. So I heard a rumor that King Hua is closing. Did you hear that?
I've heard that rumor before, but they seem to remain open.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I've seen the children of the owners operating it, and I happened to just order something from it just the other day.
Oh, good. So they're not closed.
Not closed yet.
Did you get wonton?
We got fried wonton, and I got that oyster wrap in the lettuce for New Year's for that little staff party that I had.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So we used to go to King Hua all the time with your family. When's your first memory of going there?
Oh, geez, it was way, way back when, because we used to go to the Golden Peacock around the corner where our church was. We used to take you and Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
And the waiter used to throw the menu at most people, but he actually really loved the two of you and was always very pleasant, and we always had a good deal. Hmm. But their portions got very small, so we went around the corner to King Hua. I don't remember when we started. I would say a lot of old-timers still go there. You can still go there and see a lot of people from way back when.
Yeah, it's definitely an institution.
It's one of the only places that Auntie Jenny will go to.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. But even she's complaining now about the small size of the portions.
Oh.
Except for the fried wonton.
Oh, so the portion size has gone down a little bit?
Very much so.
So that's funny, because I always thought that it was your family that started going there. But you're saying that it was our immediate family. Me, you, Dad.
I think it was my family. You know, we didn't always live in Oakland. When Chris was born, he was in North Dakota.
Oh, right.
So I think that the closing happened probably sometime when we were gone, so that when we came back to Oakland, my family, or somehow Chinatown, had migrated over to King Hua.
Wait, the closing
Chinatown.
Of what?
You know, the favorite restaurants were Silver Dragon, Lantern, and then it moved over to King Hua when Silver Dragon, I think, became a little more expensive, and Lantern closed down.
Yeah, was it just called Lantern?
Yeah, that's where Ashley, Russell, and Lisa had their wedding reception.
Oh, was I there?
Yes, you were. There's actually a picture of you, I think, around somewhere with you there.
So are there any restaurants here in Chinatown that you have not sampled at this point?
Oh, there's so many now. There are just so many. And I think really that's how Chinatown has differed from when I was little, because there were several key restaurants, but now there's, you know, in the hundreds, I would say, almost 100 of restaurants, you know, with the Vietnamese restaurants and some Cambodian restaurants and lots more Chinese restaurants, all very competitive. And I love Chinatown now because it's so vibrant.
So how is it different than back in the day? Because I can't even imagine Chinatown without a million restaurants, new iterations, old versions of the same thing.
Chinatown was much smaller than it is now, and it seemed like smaller and at the same time more spread out, in that there weren't so many restaurants just in cubbyholes right next to each other. So like if you're on 10th Street now, you have that Shangdong place, and then you have Quick Li. I made that mistake at the staff meeting. Anyways, and they all laughed at me because I said quickie.
Oh.
Anyways, long story short is that there's just so many more and much more crowded. You know, it's actually hard to walk down the street without being four people abreast, you know, next to each other nowadays.
Oh.
And in the old days, you know, it was a nice, cozy, but not as thriving.
Mm.
But at the same time, it was one of my favorite things to do was my grandfather, you know, on his days off would take us over there to the corner store, and he'd get his newspaper, and he would buy me beef jerky, little flat packets, which was a favorite
the
thing.
The sweet beef jerky?
No, it wasn't sweet in those days.
Oh, salty.
Yeah, it was very good.
Is that corner store still here?
That corner store is no longer there. It used to be on the corner of 8th and Webster. And it was the typical shop where there were a lot of newspapers and old men sitting around and shooting the breeze. And I loved going with him. I did not like my cheeks pinched. Oh, there's a little one. You know, kind of thing. That was not fun.
So the old men at the corner store where you would go to get the beef jerky and I the
guess
paper
so.
Would pinch your cheeks.
Just
how old
that.
Were you?
A little. Probably under 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't pinch over 10. That I can remember.
They weren't pinching those cheeks, perhaps.
Yes.
Did your other siblings get to go on excursions like that, or were you too young to remember?
You know, I really don't know, although they, because I'm the youngest of the five,
mm-hmm.
They told me about Grandpa taking them downtown or taking them out on his days off, but it wasn't in my memory because I remember being the only one going with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because they were a little bit older than
they
you.
Were a little bit over, older, probably into their own teenage things
mm-hmm.
and having fun. One of the things that I was always jealous of them
mm-hmm.
because when they were growing up, there were so many families in Chinatown, and they all seemed to be connected, and the kids hung around.
Mm.
And more often than not, I will meet people who tell me that they knew my sister or they know my sister or my brother
mm-hmm.
because lots of families were just very close.
Mm.
In fact, I found out the other day going to a party that I was cousins with somebody.
Hmm.
But those family members knew each other more because they were lived so close in proximity.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to my age for growing up, people were all moving out of Chinatown.
Mm.
And I don't think the community ties were as thick.
Hmm.
So I was really always kind of wishing for that for myself.
Hmm.
We had fun. But, you know, they were packs of teenagers. And
wow.
One of the pictures that I have to show you sometime is my mom would open up her house and, you know, people would come, just like your house.
Uh-huh.
People would.
Well, your house.
People would just come over and have Sunday dinner there. And it was my sister's friends and anybody could come.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather was there on the dining room table that you now have.
That I have, yeah.
So it's interesting because I know more of my sister's friends
mm-hmm.
and brother's friends than my own friends
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
there weren't that many as many of us in Chinatown.
Right, and maybe because they're a little bit closer in age, like they shared more friends. Is that? Oh no, you really think it's because
there were tons. The population, the census in Chinatown was more Chinese families. So, for example, Laurel's uncle's family,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Darlene's husband's family, actually lived with our family for a while.
Really.
Yeah, two families in one household for a while.
Yeah.
And so it was just the, what do you call it, the place to start your life in America.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's a big wave, it felt like.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That generation.
Exactly.
Families
exactly.
or kids got born in that first wave.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your siblings?
That's
like
my
just
siblings'
a, it's
age.
It's like a half a generation, really.
Mm, yeah, like a half a generation.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, because you understand that David was 9 years older than me, and that's the closest
mm-hmm.
between the siblings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, your oldest, the oldest sibling is Auntie Jenny, right?
Yes.
And how old is she right now?
77.
Okay, so she's 12 years older than you. I'm doing my math right now.
I don't know. You can do the math.
13 years old. Older than you.
And then Lincoln School went up to 8th or 9th grade.
Mm.
And so all those families were together for the longest of time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them went to the Chinese Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
But my Auntie Janice, your Auntie Janice went to the Chinese Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just did a lot of things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went dancing. I mean, I remember them telling me, you know, they're driving up to Sacramento to see friends.
Wow.
Or they would go to see, I remember one night, they went to see Oklahoma, and I was home all by myself. So I couldn't quite go out on that date. So, you know, and there are pictures of them on different excursions. Mm. Uncle Jerome would be really the best source for those pictures. They just really had a ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, what year is that? Are we talking like 1940s?
I would say the
50s.
The 50s.
Yeah. And then you grew up more in the 60s.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
So what were some of your, who were some of your friends that did stick around or that were around?
Well, my friends were Sherwin and mm-hmm. Ernest mm-hmm. and
two guys,
Mary around the corner, Alan behind me, Janice across the street, and there were a couple of some other neighborhood kids too.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Lester from Silver Dragon was lived downstairs from us. And there was your cousin, or my cousin, Jeffrey, who lived across the street. And we'd spend our days roller skating and riding on wagons and playing on what's now the train park. And I remember just fondly having picnics there with my cousin Jeffrey and Jennifer climbing trees.
Mm.
Yeah, I loved climbing trees even then.
Yeah.
And see, what else did we do? Oh, we'd go to each other's house. Actually, a key person in my life was probably my sister Janice,
because
mm-hmm. She helped to throw me birthday parties. Mm. And I actually remember having a party at our small little house, and mm-hmm. that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that helped a lot was Chinese school, even though I hated it when I went to Chinese school. It was another social network.
Mm-hmm.
And church was another social network. So life actually was pretty good. Even though I wished that I didn't live in Chinatown, life in Chinatown was pretty happy.
Hmm. Maybe we'll come back to that. But I was curious about the, why did people come, why did, with your brothers and sisters and all of their friends, why to your guys' house? What was special about it?
I don't know.
You guys continue to throw the gigantic gatherings still.
Not as much as you do. But anyways.
No, but I mean with the family. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
I know my mom always cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it was because of, you know, our siblings' popularity
mm-hmm.
or... Which is kind of interesting because when you think about it now, I think most of Jenny's friends came over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Janice's friends came over that much.
Mm.
David and Jerome actually were part of the Dragon Club, you know, the drum lion dancing club.
Really?
Which was totally cool. And that
really?
Was another thing that I wish that I could have done. That's why I love the drums so much now.
Yeah.
But I think maybe my sister was the ringleader. I'm not
mm-hmm.
sure.
I can see that. She's
but my mom also had to, as soon as she came over, she had to cook for my grandfather, and he would bring friends over.
Oh, man.
And pleasant or not, you know, that's what she did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she did a lot of cooking.
So what kind of stuff would she make? Ooh. I remember her once, one memory I have of her in that house, is I was pretty young, I think, when she still had chickens. I do remember her going down those really steep stairs to that little concrete yard and yeah. getting a chicken.
Killing
it.
That her
it
or my grandmother?
Well,
they both actually did things like
yeah,
that. I remember,
no,
too.
Great. So what kind of things would she make that you remember that you liked?
Her chicken was the best. And I, you know, she just really was a great cook, and I assumed everybody was a great cook, but she actually, everybody's not a great cook. She was. I loved her paper wrap chicken.
Mm-hmm.
She just would chop it all up really fast on that wooden chopping block.
Mm-hmm. I remember
with
that.
With a butcher knife.
The cleaver.
And she had the best sauce, and we would wrap it up in the wax paper and stick it in the broiler. That was so good. Her roast chicken was excellent. She made good stew, but she mostly cooked Chinese. She made really, really good hamsir gok.
Oh, oh man, she made
she
that?
She made them. They were all beautifully
shaped, folded?
Shaped and pinched on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And she made the New Year dough balls. And they're white. I think they're the equivalent to
mochi.
Jewish matzo balls and Japanese mochi, because they're just rice flour.
Uh-huh.
But you put them in a salty soup for New Year's, and then you can also have it just in kind of a sugar thing.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great oyster wrap. That was Gary's favorite. She always would cook it
with
for him.
With the dried oysters?
With the dried scallops. With the
dried scallops and pork?
Dried oysters. Dried scallops, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Dried scallops in the lettuce wrap. She made really good nomai fan, too.
Mm.
She was really a great cook.
Wow.
Really, 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 really. She had spinach with that fermented tofu. That was actually very good, too.
Spinach with fermented tofu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had that.
So you must have it sometime.
Maybe you should make it for me.
Yeah, it's just opening up a jar and adding it to the spinach. But I never took lessons from her, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, so she came over. How old was she when she came over?
Young, late teens.
Late teens.
Late teens. I don't know the exact.
She was married to your dad already. Or did they get married here?
They got married over here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was arranged mm-hmm. back there. Actually, Auntie Jenny and Auntie Janice and Uncle Jerome and I are going to San Francisco to meet one of the matriarchs to get it all down in writing.
Mm.
You know, who is related to who, when did this happen, when did that happen? Because she's the only one now that will remember what happened.
Who is she related to?
Do you remember Michael Chan? Her mother, Dipal.
The mustache?
Yes.
Yeah.
His mom.
Oh.
His mom.
Wow.
So we'll get it all down after March 1st.
So she, how is she related to you guys? I know who Michael Chan is.
The Chan Village.
Interesting. I didn't know there was only one Chin Village.
There probably are more than one, but it's that particular one.
Right.
In that particular district.
In Toisan?
In Toisan.
Do you remember the name? We went and visited.
No, we didn't go. We only went to my mother's. Partly because, you know, there's this thing about my father that we're not so happy about.
Right.
So we all haven't come to terms with that in a way that's... that's healthy. We probably still need to work through some things.
Yeah. I got it. So, right, because the Chin comes from your dad's side.
Yeah.
Got it. But we did go see your mom's village. Yeah. What was the name of that village again? Do you remember?
I think I'm American born. I think it was called Luktun.
Uh-huh.
Luktun. In Toisan.
And were most of the other friends like that you had and your siblings, friends, were the people that were kind of your age, were they also born here in the Bay Area or California?
I think I've never asked them where they were born, but I'm assuming that.
Because it's funny because I don't feel like I know that many Chinese Americans who are my generation, which is, you know, American born to American born.
You need to go to Chinese school. That's my fault.
Well, yeah, Chinese school. You know, she yelled at me.
But we should have sent you to the other Chinese school, the real Chinese school, the everyday Chinese school.
Yeah, you should have.
Down here. I
probably
don't know.
Probably true.
Who knows?
I know. I was weak. I had no thick skin. I just remember her being incredible that I didn't even know big.
and
possibly the easiest character.
That was our fault, too, because we didn't talk to you.
Mm-hmm. So, so you know a lot of people who are your generation who are born here.
Yeah. But I think the other thing is my generation probably didn't have as much Asian pride as we do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it wasn't, language wasn't as important as
yeah.
to us then as it is now.
Yeah.
And heritage wasn't as important then because throughout, you know, I wanted to be white
yeah.
for a long, long time.
And I was going to ask you, actually, because when you said all your friends' names, they're all super American names. And your name is super
Sherwin,
American.
Yes.
Sherwin.
Ernest.
Well, they're actually very Asian American, Chinese American names.
Darwin.
Can you edit that out? Jerome. That's really amazing. Caroline is pretty.
That's very chic now.
There's not. There is no Chinese similar name correlation.
Yeah.
So, did you guys choose? I mean, you didn't choose your name.
My sister named me.
Your sister named you.
I
Who named her?
I think the doctors probably did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because her name doesn't sound like her Chinese name at all. It's a funny fact. There's a. Did you ever read that Dim Sum of All Things?
I did.
Because there's that part about Chinese names that we will have to laugh about together. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, at Lincoln now,
mm-hmm.
it is interesting to see the kids, whether they'll go by their regular name or they'll choose a more English-sounding name. Like, there's this wonderful, wonderful attendance clerk. Her name is Shen. And she's decided... she's decided to be called Sharon. And, you know,
right.
Now I appreciate the Chinese name. And now, you know, I'm trying to encourage her. Oh,
yeah.
I like your name, you know. But...
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're from an immigrant background,
yeah.
there's this need and desire to assimilate.
Totally.
Very much so.
No, I mean, I think that's like super, that's really clear.
And you understand that I grew up in the age of Ozzie and Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
So being, you know, I was almost like an only child because
yeah.
my brothers and sisters had gotten married or gone to work and gotten married. And so I was left with the TV a lot. except for Chinese school. Ozzie and Harriet, Nancy Drew. I did read about Silver Chief. Who's the one? Heidi, all those guys. So I read a lot of books.
I could have been named Heidi.
And I was, you know, I was wishing for this white picket fence
mm-hmm.
and a dog. I wanted a dog, but I didn't realize that.
You got a few of those.
The hair would get next to me. And the... what else? I totally thought I was going to get a car for graduation.
Really? No car.
I got a watch. I got a watch and a coat from Ruth Atkins, camel color.
Oh.
So it looked
what happened to that coat?
Collegiate. I don't know, but it was good. It was really a nice coat. And,
man.
You know.
Wow.
But I think, aside from wanting to be white, I was pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And our school was pretty mixed. You know, there are African Americans and Anglo Americans and Asian Americans, and
mm-hmm.
We mixed pretty well. And except for wanting to be white, which is interesting. Race was not an issue for me.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
there was
not anything about race that I felt one way or the other about, except, I guess, wanting to be in Ozzie and Harriet's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Much of my life, I have to say, is not feeling quite good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
not quite having it as clean or...
Mm-hmm.
Not quite having things in place just right. Or, you know, it was embarrassment to bring friends over when I was in middle school and high school. Mm. We had roaches, and I was ashamed of that. But amazingly enough, I did have friends. I mean, you know, that didn't live in the neighborhood. Janice Chin, who was Janice Yee, she lived by Westlake, and she actually came over.
Hmm.
She's an optometrist's daughter, because our family wasn't professional.
Uh-huh.
She came over. We had a lot of good times together.
Yeah.
She wasn't from Lincoln School, but middle school was the most fun.
Mm-hmm. What middle school did you go to?
Westlake.
Oh, you went to Westlake.
And we went to dances, and we did all the things that junior high school kids did.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty amazing that my mother trusted me, more or less. Mm-hmm. She even let me have a dance at the house. And
whoa.
And she made fried wonton. And I was...
What?
I was actually... You know, people came.
Yeah.
Which was really fun.
Yeah.
So
you went to Westlake and Oakland Tech. And Oakland... Was Oakland Tech where it is now in the historic building?
And
so
Westlake,
you went...
Yeah, Westlake and Tech are right where they were.
So crazy that we went to the same high school.
I should say.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. They might have some of your old work up, too, like they had my old work up 10 years later.
I'm sure. I'd like to go and see it. Westlake, there's a trophy of me at Westlake with my name on it.
Still? Wow.
Because every year they had a girl of the year, but my year they... we had a tie.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was, I got the sense that when you first said who were some of your closest friends or who were the people you hung out with, there were all these people who were right in the immediate area around your house, which is on 7th and Alice, right?
Right. But you know, what really did a lot for my growth as a young person, I suppose, is the nurturing I got at church.
Mm-hmm.
So Janice and Janice took me there, and as I said at an occasion, all that I learned, because I'm an educator, all that I learned in Bible school,
mm-hmm.
how to have fun with music and crafts and competitions and, you know, having a really fun time in school. And then the church also provided a social network.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Sherwin, Ernest, Alan, those guys are my best friends from Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of other friends, but, you know, we didn't continue growing up together as much in the church. And so the church had youth leaders, and I just think they were the greatest for helping immigrant families, immigrant kids to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I remember... Sherwin's sister took us to the ballet.
Wow.
You know, that's how we saw the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
And we actually had spaghetti,
you know,
which we never had at home. And I think about, you know, what you do with Ibasi itself and Oasis, how they really helped the kids to assimilate the immigrants now. Really meant a lot. We, you know, for example, if you were... in a suburban area, you'd do a car wash and you'd wash people's car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a car wash too. I think it was to raise money for Thanksgiving dinner. We had not that many cars around. So we went to the produce area and washed the trucks.
The delivery trucks, produce trucks.
The produce
wow.
trucks. And so
did they pay you for it?
Yeah, just remember having a really great time with my friends. And I'm really, really grateful to those youth leaders and the youth leaders of nowadays, because it really makes a difference.
So the people who were your youth leaders, they were also born here? They were Chinese.
They were Chinese, and I think they were born here. You know, it's hard to tell because they're like my sister's friends or whatnot.
But it's interesting because you were saying, you know, you're really grateful to them for, you know, helping you assimilate, you know, and that they're really great for kind of immigrant kids who, but you were born here and all your siblings were born here. So it's interesting that you relate to the immigrant experience so keenly.
Well, the family culture, you know, the mother and father don't connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in the best of families.
Mm-hmm.
With parents and children born in the same country, there's sometimes a little friction. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to assimilate and your parents don't speak English, they don't go to PTA meetings, mm-hmm. Your father's a gambler, mm-hmm. you know, and there's no discussion at the table, mm-hmm. you could get your fingers wrapped with chopsticks if you were out of line. And
yeah.
That happened
yeah,
a couple
you.
Times. And so, you know, there's really no discussion about growing up or how to fit in or what to do except to get good grades. And so all those activities, you know, helped me not to be afraid of the bigger world. And that's my concern right now, actually, for the kids at Lincoln. If they're over-sheltered and, mm-hmm. and they only see Chinese kids, mm-hmm. how are they going to learn to mix?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, I worry about that.
Was Lincoln back then mostly Chinese?
No, it's quite mixed.
It was more mixed than it is now.
Much more African-Americans.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I can remember Florentina Campos and some kid that gave me a Christmas present because we exchanged names, but he was a white kid. I think his name was Kenneth.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, just really mixed. That's why I never thought race was such an issue.
Right. Well, that's so interesting because Lincoln, for as long as I've grown up, which is 35 years, and my memory has always been really Chinese.
Right.
And Chinese American.
And I think, you know, I mean, in those days, I wish there was more, how shall I say it, efforts to promote pride and mm-hmm. inclusion in, mm-hmm. in Asian heritage. And now I think it's almost exclusive,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, kids need to see the bigger picture mm-hmm. and to appreciate
mm-hmm.
The whole world of people.
You feel like it's swung a little bit too far? Because I was going to ask you about that. So you grew up, I mean, I love your story, you know, you're my mom. Mm. But it's fascinating because, you know, you were born here, you're American born, your siblings are American born, they really helped raise you. And yet I've known all my life, you know, that you have always felt like this Chinatown girl, you know, which I think is probably, you know, a lot of class stuff as well as cultural stuff. And I know, you know, you guys gave me and Chris pretty very, very white American names also. And I've always kind of...
Although, Susan, we wanted something to sound Chinese.
Susan can translate. It's true. It's one of those names that's also popular in the Asian cultures. Although now it's a little identified with Korean Americans. Anyways, so I know that there was this time where you were kind of running away from that and looking for the white picket fence. And then you ended up in North Dakota for a little while. And there it was. But, you know, at the end of your career, how amazing is it to be at Lincoln where you are trying to help people be proud to be, you know, these students and families be proud to be Chinese and Chinese American, you know, really fiercely proud of that, but also not exclusive and insular. I don't know. It's just interesting to think about that trajectory and kind of returning back. You know, did you ever think when you were a kid that you would be working back in Chinatown voluntarily?
No, and I wished, you know, I wish my mother knew.
Yeah. What do you think she would say?
She wouldn't say much.
Yeah.
But she would point to the article, or she might tell her friends that I was the principal at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's interesting because, you know, when I was growing up, I probably didn't pay much attention to her and wished for a different kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back at pictures of her now and, you know, she seems so young.
Mm.
And to navigate coming over here and cooking for my grandfather, father, and finding a job as a seamstress.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but she told us that all she wanted as a eulogy was that she's worked for 75 cents an hour and that she really loved her kids.
Mm.
And, you know, at that time, it didn't have a lot of meaning, but
yeah.
Now you know what I would want to say to my kids is the same thing. I didn't work for 75 cents an hour, but I worked really hard to do good, to make a difference, and to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know what she meant and how she felt. Because those are the important things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out where that transition came from being ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
From
being
ashamed to being proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what my question kind of was too.
I don't know. I probably have to think about it more and tell you more about it. Probably after college, probably when people were looking for their roots, probably having a master's degree, and just late in life finding my voice. Because that's the thing. You can be happy and you can be smart in Chinatown, but if you don't have a voice, you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get anybody's attention
if
you need to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can't stay in there forever.
You can. You can, but the world is so much bigger and there's so much to explore and be a part of.
Mm.
As opposed to just, what do you call it, being isolated and going to work, coming home. Actually, I have to say, Revolutionary Road, that movie.
You really enjoyed it?
Really, I think begs the question of, you know, what kind of meaning are you going to ascribe to your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you just want to settle down, have kids, and that's it? And that's good in itself, but is that enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do more? Are there things you want to explore? So anyways, long story short, I know I have come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely. There are times if I get on an airplane, I'm still thinking that any guy that comes in a three-piece suit and he's white is smarter or more important than I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm a much more confident person due to church, my experiences as a teacher, dad really encouraging me and opening up the world for me and pushing me to go for it. And so it's really wonderful to be where I am.
I wonder if it's also just like, I mean, you've been an educator for all your life pretty much. And like when you're, I mean, I taught for a little bit too, and I think, you know, I still work with kids, and I know the thing that gets me is seeing their vulnerabilities. You know, and it seems like that's something that you so relate to, you know, and I know you're so fiercely protective of those kids, you know.
It's true, but I did leave with my teachers. I might have left a lot of messages, but I said, if there's anything I want to have left with you, it's not to be afraid. Because I even think a lot of the teachers are so afraid to stretch out and expose their kids.
Not protective in a sheltered way, but, or just fierce, you know, just that you want them to get out there so badly and to know themselves, you know, and that's really
And to discover
beautiful.
The joy of discovery.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think it's reflected in your life, too, you know, and it's like, it's just beautiful, and I think you definitely have given that to me, too.
Oh, thank you.
And it's funny, I never knew that you loved to climb trees. I mean, and I love to climb trees, you know? I have not climbed any trees lately, but, you know, so I really love that, and love that gift that you, you know, you found in yourself and gave to others, too, for so many years. I mean, how many years did you teach in Oakland? Work in Oakland.
35
years.
But
that's
I think,
amazing.
You know, what makes me the happiest, actually, is my two kids, Susan and Christopher. I mean, I just need to say it, in that you guys have far exceeded in my dreams in terms of being caring people, creative people, people that discover, people that are inclusive for the most part.
Yes.
And generous and beautiful inside and out. And I just want to tell you that so much.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard now. It's like your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to show you that I love you so much. And so sometimes maybe I go over the top. And sometimes I get the wrong thing. And I need, you know, I don't know how to tell you, but you're living your own lives. And so sometimes I just need your help to tell me, how can I show you that I love you?
Doing this is huge. I know you didn't really want to do it.
It is huge, and it's a gift to me as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Well, we're not totally done yet. I wonder if I can get one last question in. Let's end. We started with food, and we can end with food. So if you had to recommend one place to go for an outsider, a new person, say, who just moved here from Brooklyn, what place would you recommend for them to go to for dinner? Dim sum or dinner, either one.
Oh.
In Oakland's Chinatown. Going across the bridge to Alameda.
How about New Chinatown?
Maybe New Chinatown, too.
I would go to, I still like King of Kings because I like the atmosphere. And I like the tablecloths. The portions are good size. You know, for dinner, it's really hard. I would go to Rainbow for dinner. I would go to Shooting Star for snacks. It's totally a fun place. Have you been to Shooting Star? Oh, it's so much fun. It's like a Chinese soda fountain, coffee shop, all at the same time. And we take grandma there for breakfast sometimes.
So those places are really, there, a lot of them are new Chinatown, and Shooting Star is a really new place in Chinatown.
Yeah,
the
Shooting
old
Star
Chinatown.
It's got IKEA stars. IKEA for, I love it, and a flat screen TV.
Nice.
It just is very charming because it has the most Chinatown dinner. I don't know. I wouldn't go to King Hua, Silver Drill.
Well, you'd go to King Hua for
certain
the
things,
ton,
the chow
fried
fun,
wonton,
the wonton,
and the Hong Kong fried, or the Hong Kong style chow mein.
Yeah, the Hong Kong style chow mein. Yeah, actually, they have a few really good things.
And what's that pork and salt fish thing?
Oh, that's so good.
What do you call it?
Ham yu yuk bang.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good dish there.
They have some. I just wouldn't get the dinner special.
Yeah, it's more for the old atmosphere,
right?
Well, thanks so much. It sounds good. If we don't get our reservations, maybe we'll go there.
Are you proud of me?
Yes. Oh, so proud. You're my inspiration. I think you're where I get my.
Yeah, saying it to be nice.
No, definitely not. Oh my God, that's why I wanted to get. How do you think we got this? That is talking, bragging about you.
Because the thing is, you know, because Dad's the talker.
Yeah.
And I'm not. But there's so much inside. And I'm learning to talk, of course. Thanks. Love I'm proud another. Of you, too.
I know that.
You do
I
know that. That.
I know. And I got to get better about showing you that I'm proud, too.
I know. I have to sign on Facebook.
Cool. I think we're good.
Aww.